Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Top Flight Time Machine are going to be going on tour in early November. You will experience physical movement and emotional movement and so much more from both of us.
Bowel movement?
Maybe there'll be a little bit of bowel movement. I can't promise it, but if that's what you're looking for, we can make it happen, probably. It won't be one of those things where a podcast episode is recorded in a theatre. Fuck that. This is a proper show with songs and dancing and high moments of exhilaration. So come along. Let's just quickly tell you where we're going to be. The 1st of November, we're in Brighton. 2nd of November, we're in Nottingham. The 3rd, we're in Leeds. The 5th, we're in Manchester. The 7th, we're in Glasgow. The 8th, we're in Newcastle. The 9th, we're in Birmingham. And the 10th, we're in London.
The capital.
What a finale.
It's going to be good. I think there's a few tickets left at most venues. Yep. It's going to be really exciting. It's called the Velvet Drainpipe Tour. It's going to be better than the last one.
Yeah.
Which is saying something, because the last one was fucking amazing. Ask anyone who went. But this one, whoa, it's going to knock your cock off. Or if you're a lady, it will knock off your boobs.
Go to tftimemachine.com/liveshows to have a look at where you get tickets from.
There'll also be a chance to interact with us in an official capacity while we're on stage, not after the show.
In a very limited capacity. Come along, you'll love it.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. This is it.
Yes, it's Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson. Pa, pa, pa.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Yesterday's Heroes Odyssey. It's not Yesterday's Heroes, it's Yesterday's Hero. I'll start that again. Welcome to the Yesterday's Hero Odyssey. We are covering the 1979 hit film. I don't know if it was a hit film, actually.
Well, I'd never heard of it.
I'd never heard of it before it came on Talking Pictures a few years ago, so perhaps it wasn't.
Which is weird because, you know, it's important for me to say this at the beginning of every episode. This is, in my opinion, the greatest football film ever made, fictional football film.
I mean, you and I grew up around the, let's call it lad culture of the mid-90s, and we worked we toiled in that industry ourselves.
We profited from it.
We did. I don't remember this film ever being mentioned that often.
So weird.
Or it being one of the touchstones.
The touchstones of the lad culture movies very much were from this film. Because even though it was the 90s, a lot of the people in charge of it had grown up in the 70s. So things like Get Carter, Long Good Friday.
Alfie.
Those kind of old films were the ones that people seemed to like. Yeah.
Those Magnificent Men in their flying machines. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
They were all the lad films.
My Fair Lady.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
But Mary Poppins. It's really weird that it hasn't had more exposure, because the premise alone is enough to make you think, fucking hell, this sounds interesting. Then you hear the cast, and then you think, wow, I think this might be good in a silly sort of way. And then you watch it and you're like, no, this is a bona fide classic. And I'll be honest, brace yourselves for this, men of a certain age. I think it pisses on Escape to Victory.
Well, I think Escape to Victory is overrated anyway. I've never thought
it is overrated, but it's there's not many good fictional films about football. So that's the one that always stands out, and because of its cast and everything. But well, this is a million times better.
Exactly, that was the thing, because not only because you had like the cast that had, but it had players who were kind of like
current players,
like Paul Cooper and people like that are in
Russell Osman,
who were just like jobbing players at the time, at the top end of the game, but they weren't like, you know, world stars.
It would
stars,
be like a film now. The equivalent would be if they made a film now, in which they'd probably not do it about British soldiers versus the Nazis. They make a film now about the British forces in Afghanistan having a football match against the Taliban, right? Mm-hmm. And in the British team would be Messi, right? Mm-hmm. But also Jason Statham and Harry Maguire.
I said Phil Jagielka, so, you know.
Yeah. And then Mark Wahlberg in goal.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good, doesn't it?
It does sound good, actually, yeah.
Let's make it happen. But, yeah, yesterday's hero. Before we get back into the film, there's a little diversion, a news story that cropped up this week, or at the weekend. A bit of Cosmos-y stuff. Suzanne Summers, who we haven't even got to in the film yet, who plays Cloudy Martin.
Great name.
I mean, I can't remember much about what she does in the film because it's 4 years since I've seen it all the way through. So you're fresher to it than me. But
you need
Cloudy
to.
Martin,
why don't you rewatch it, mate? What a treat.
I'm watching it in segments before we do these episodes. I never get around to sitting watching it in one go. I should do that. I'll try and do that.
It's only a short film.
Yeah. I'll do it on my treadmill. I watch stuff when I'm on my treadmill.
That is
I'll
perfect,
I'll do that. It's
mate.
A good treadmill film.
Because you'll disappear into the world of yesterday's hero and not notice all of the calories you're burning.
Exactly.
They'll just
win.
Off with ease.
So, here's the story from Deadline.com. Suzanne Summers, actress, author, and spokesmodel, which is what she is now. Well, Suzanne Summers, 74 years
like
of age.
That's like us. We're actresses, authors, and spokesmodels.
And spokesmodels. Spokesmens. Suzanne Summers gently confronted a naked home intruder who appeared while she was streaming a makeup tutorial from her Palm Springs, California home. 74-year-old Summers was on Facebook Live on Friday evening when the incident occurred. She paused during the recording and told her nearby husband, Alan Hamill, that she'd heard strange noises off camera. Hamill assured her, "It's just a frog."
Good lad.
Yeah, Hamill's like, "Yeah, whatever. It's just a frog or something. I'm trying to watch Coronation Street here. Can you just get over it?
Can you please shut up
about
it now?
Keep the noise down." Just do your makeup tutorial, and then come back here, because we're gonna watch an old episode of Lovejoy later on.
They're rerunning Duty Free on Forces TV.
Hamill assured it's just a frog. Summers turned to her left after hearing more noise and viewed the intruder, who remained off camera during their conversation. The intruder was described in reports as near naked. Oh, what's he wearing then?
He's like just got maybe a sock over his willy.
Jock strap, something like that, yeah. Maybe nipple tassels, I don't know. it says Summers was calm and spoke gently to the intruder. So she's done well, she's kept her shit together. She spoke gently to the intruder, who said that he was terrified of something. And he said, "I'm not even sure, there were ghosts following me." Oh, it's got ghosts in the story as well.
Brilliant.
It's tailor made for us.
It's got everything.
So he's terrified of ghosts that are following him. He's nearly naked. He identified himself as Aaron Carpenter, perhaps a pseudonym for Jesus. Perhaps it's the second coming of Jesus. Who knows? Yeah. And he asked Summers if she'd ever heard of him. And he claimed to have been led to the Summers home by a friend. So, again, echoes of Jesus, I think.
Maybe. Guided by a star, bright star
by
in
a
the
star,
sky.
Yeah, because California, so it might have been an actual star that took him there.
Yeah.
This prompted the intruder to claim that he was not a scary person whatsoever. Suzanne Summers told him he seemed like a nice person, but he needed to leave. Oh, more Jesus vibes. He claimed to have brought the couple a gift, but both quickly declined. "I don't want your fucking gift, mate."
"Thanks, but no. Hang on. Is it a frog?" "No." "Yeah. Why'd you ask?" "Oh, no, I just would have explained why I thought I heard frog noises when you came in the house." "I'm still convinced, irrespective of you, which is an unexpected arrival, I'm still convinced there is a frog somewhere in this house." "Are you sure you didn't bring a frog in with you?
Have you got a frog in a box right now? Or have you left one at the doorstep? Something like that. I'm sure I can hear one. It's fine if you have, because we've got a nice water feature out of the garden. We can release it into that. It'll be fine.
Frog would be absolutely fine. It'd be happy as Larry out there.
We could draw a line under this. You can go on your way. We'll say no more about it, Aaron, if that's your real name. And we'll get back to, you know. Suzanne's doing a tutorial. She wants to get that finished.
She's
I'm sitting
here
with my finger watching the box. You know, life can go on.
No, I do not have a frog, sir. Oh, all right. Fine.
Are you sure? You might have just caught brought by accident.
It's not you who introduced the frog into the home, but a frog has been introduced. And I tell you what, I will fucking stand by that. Right.
It's dark outside. There's every chance there was one near the door when you came in, and it's coming with you. That can happen. I'm not blaming you for the frog.
Sometimes the very resourceful, ingenious ones can get in through the cat flap.
I was stayed in an hotel in Florida, right? And a little tiny baby would come up the plug hole in the shower. How? I have got no idea to this day, but it happened.
I can tell you, it gave me the shock of my life.
So I just flushed it straight back down there again. Because, you know, I didn't have to deal with it.
This is the actual environment. It's probably fine. It's an adventure, isn't it? Every time a toilet gets flushed, you're sending a little froggy off on another adventure.
It's going down one of them whirly slides that they like to go down.
It's a lot like Jamie and his magic torch. Do you remember that? By this stage, the intruder's like, I've got to fucking get out of here. This bloke's mental.
I've got this horribly wrong. Yeah, well, that's what happened. It said he claimed to have brought a couple of gifts, but both quickly declined. Aaron Carpenter then said, God bless you, before leaving the property.
Fucking hell.
An unflustered Summers then continued with her video. And then, at the end, it says police later caught up with the intruder and advised him not to trespass on private property, but no citation was issued.
Wow.
So he's got in their house nearly naked, with a frog or without a frog, we're not sure.
We don't know.
We don't know about that. And then the police have just gone, mate, you can't do that. You just can't do that, right?
You know that's illegal, right? What? What is? Going into other people's houses semi-naked. What? Since when? I'm an American.
But the door was unlocked. It was like they wanted me to go in there.
I know my constitutional rights.
I know, mate. I know. Yeah, it seems obvious that's what you would do. But it's against the law.
I mean, in America, even in... Was this California, right?
Yeah.
You can shoot someone dead if they come in your rig.
Yeah.
So he got off lightly, didn't he? He just had to endure some frog chat and a makeup tutorial.
Alan Hamill obviously doesn't have a gun, so but he got a keen interest in frogs. So that's what happened over the weekend. Suzanne Summers, who of course is Cloudy Martin in Yesterday's Hero.
I tell you what, Cloudy Martin's such a great character name. So much that I always thought, like, Jackie Collins, by the way, who wrote this film, I always had a slightly sniffy, snobby attitude towards the works of Jackie Collins, right? Because I thought, oh, it's trash, and it's all like... I just sort of imagined it, maybe because of her sister, as like all being a bit like Dynasty, right? And it all being completely far-fetched, synthetic stories about the love lives of the rich and famous and all of that. There's so much grit and authenticity in this. I mean, if someone told me Clement and Lafrene fucking wrote it, I'd have believed them. Yeah?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If someone were to put down two books in front of me now, and one of them was by Jackie Collins and one was by, let's say, Gabriel García Márquez, I'd read the Collins.
Well, this is what I'm saying, right? Because I'm like, I want to be at the hell, there's a whole world of Jackie Collins books out there that I've never gone near, right? But watching this film, I'm thinking, fucking hell, they want reading, don't they? All of them. Future deep dive potential.
We could literally do this until we're as old as Alan Hamill.
Jackie Collins, although as I say, I've been sniffy about reading her books before, I've always had this hunch that Jackie Collins was absolutely marvellous. Do you know what I mean? Now, there's a woman who was living out loud.
I've just found they've now added a YouTube video of the incident where Suzanne Summers deals with the frogman. So we'll tweet that out. I'll have to watch that properly later on. Is there a frog in here or what? Oh, it's a fella.
Shall I get the Terminator? No, it's just a frog. I don't need the Terminator for the fucking frog. It'll just make its own way out to the garden.
I could catch it in my cupped hands and put it in the garden.
I've done it loads of times before.
I don't need to smash it up with a hammer or a bat.
That'd be horrible. Horrible to see a smashed
frog.
I'm not
a monster. So there we are. I'm just flicking through it. Some of her facial expressions in this are incredible. He turns to the camera at one point and eyes widen, probably in just disbelief at what's going on. And then I think we see a little bit of Alan Hamill at the side. This is great. I'll have to watch that later on. We'll crack on now with the film.
Where are we at in the film?
Hero. Where are we at in the film, indeed? We're at the bit where Rod Turner, the hero, Ian Lovejoy, is he's in the working men's club with his dad. It's his Sunday lunchtime tradition.
He meets his dad for a quick pint.
And his dad's mates are all sitting around talking football.
Cunts.
Just doing man stuff.
In the most lovely way.
Yeah. And Sue from EastEnders is behind the bar. Rod has bought 5 pints and a large scotch with a massive fiver. And then, inexplicably, the manager of the football team, Windsor United or Windsor FC?
Windsor, yeah.
He turns up in the working men's club as well. So in this working men's club, you've got the star player and the manager having
and
a bevy on a Sunday lunchtime. Yeah.
But maybe it's just, you know, that's the place where they all go. That's not. And in those days, like, there were pubs in the East End where all the West Ham players, like in the 70s, used to just meet every week.
Yeah.
They'd just be there. Like, you know, they wouldn't arrange it. You'd just be in the Black Lion, Plasto, on a Sunday, having a fucking roast and loads of alcohol.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Jalapeño.
Bobby Moore and Martin Peters ended up doing an advert for pubs, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Use your local.
Yeah, great.
That's on YouTube now. Do you know who put that on YouTube? I put it on YouTube.
Did you? Oh, well done, mate.
10 years ago.
Any advert for a generic good or service is something that I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just like, drink milk, you cunts.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The other classic, of course, is all the superstars that did, have cream cakes.
Yeah,
go on,
exactly.
Have a fucking cream cake.
Have a fucking cream cake, for fuck's sake.
Fucking relax
YOLO.
And have a cream cake.
YOLO, you cunt. But
so,
and then, like, you know, you have Bernie Winters and Lionel Blair in the 80s did that advert work for carpet. Put carpet on your floor, it'll make it warmer and nicer to walk about on. This commercial was issued by the Carpet Association of Great Britain and Ireland.
Are you hot right now? Open a window, do you the world a good.
This is a government sponsored information film
from the Home Office. The Fresh Air UK Federation.
The government's open window campaign. You gotta understand that in the 70s no one was opening their windows and people were dying left, right and centre from inhaling stale air. So it was Callaghan's government said, look, we've got to do something about this. We've got to get some celebrities involved.
When you're indoors, take your coat off. Otherwise, you'll not feel the benefit when you go out.
I fucking love adverts like that. They don't do it anymore because nothing's the responsibility of the government, apart from COVID.
Yeah, it's come back in a big way with COVID, hasn't it?
Mm.
But I mean, you know, we've discussed
the public information. They should get more celebrities. They have these ads for COVID, right? That'll have a picture of some old geezer who doesn't, he just seems a bit old, but not like particularly old. He's just an old man. And it just says, look him in the eye and tell him you are not bending any rules.
Mm.
And I'm like, what? Don't fucking tell me what to do. What's it? He doesn't want me to fucking look him in the eyes. I don't see an old come on the street and go up to him and go, excuse me. And then look him in the eye, which is sort of a little bit of an affront to anyone.
Well, it's also against the rules.
I am not bending the rules on COVID.
It's against the rules anyway, unless you're 2 metres away from him.
Exactly. You can transmit it via the eyeballs anyway, if you look too directly at something.
Laser vision. You've got to do it on Zoom, I think, if you're going to look them in the eye.
What they should do is get some celebrities. We'll do it.
Mm. Mm.
We'll want pay. Although it is a public service, we will still want paying, just in case Priti Patel, you're listening to this and you're interested. Yeah. But we are influencers.
We are, very much so. We'll do anything positive.
We'll do it. We'll do it on Zoom.
Yeah. So, yeah, Mac, who is the boss of the team, he comes in. And, of course, in the previous episode, they were on the bus heading back from the match and he had a meeting with the board the next morning and he suspected he was going to get the sack because they'd lost a load of games. And he comes in, he says, I was right, it's the elbow. So he's been sacked by the club. First thing he does is go to the working men's club and tell Rod Turner.
He goes through a game of snooker.
Yeah, it does.
That'll cheer me up.
No statement via the League Managers Association on their website or anything like that they do now. He just goes for a pint and a game of snooker.
But he's got something. He's got something. Oh, no. Rod has got something potentially lined up, which Mac wants in on. They discuss that, don't they?
Georgie Moore is in town from America.
Yeah.
And he's looking to sign some new players. It's really taking off over there, he says. I can't remember if it's Rod or Mac that says that.
No, I think it's Rod. So Georgie Moore, who they used to know from the old days, I think he's an ex-footballer, he's got heavily involved in the American Soccer League and he's over here trying to recruit. And Rod's placing quite a lot of hope at this stage of the film on that opportunity. Because he's thinking, I need to do something. This fucking Windsor job's not going to last forever and it's not paying that well either.
I mean, again, this is another blatant George Best reference, isn't it? Jackie Collins will have been living... I imagine Jackie Collins lived in Bel Air, wherever
probably.
That is. You can hear about that a lot. You heard about that a lot in Hollywood in the olden days, didn't you? Bel Air mansion. Bel Air. They all lived
in a Bel Air mansion.
And
her neighbour would have been like, on one side, Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
And on the other side, Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. And George Best will have been down the pub every day.
Yeah. The Cat and Fiddle. Yeah. I've been in that pub. That is the pub. Where they all
is it?
In those days, I went there in the '90s. No, it's not in Bel Air. It's in like Hollywood I don't know if it's on Sunset or something like that.
Do you know it's not in Bel Air? Do you know where Bel Air is?
Yeah, I think in Bel Air you've got to drive up in the hills a bit. I think.
Oh, it's in the hills, is it?
Bel Air's a residential area, like a fancy residential area. I don't know what part of it is.
Is it near Laurel Canyon? That's up there in the hills
probably,
as well, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Next Beverly door to
Hills,
Canyon.
Laurel Canyon, all that. But this is like main drags, there's a pub called the Cat and Fiddle.
Right.
And that is where, you know, your Rod Stewarts of this world and all the other expats used to go and watch the football.
I was going to say, that's obviously been set up by an expat then, because that's a very British pub name, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very British pub. I went there once, and when I was in there, I've told this story before, I was talking to this expat bloke who was sort of a friend of my brother's. And there was something that I felt was slightly sleazy about him, which you often find with expats anywhere in the world. There's something a bit suspicious.
Yeah.
And I was chatting to him, and it was the middle of the day, right? And he went, oh, excuse me a minute. And he went off. He was wearing a suit, a tan suit. And he said, I just got to go to loo. And he went off. And when he came back, his breath smelled of vomit. And he carried on talking to me 10 to the dozen in a way that made me feel like he'd taken cocaine. And I glanced at the lapel of his tan suit and there was flecks of what was clearly vomit. And I thought, this mad cunt, he's giving me the old, I'm living the glamorous Los Angeles lifestyle. Look at me. This is great. I'm living the dream. But it's midday, mate. And you have just gone to the toilet, thrown up and then done a line of gack and come back talking to me. a 19-year-old imbecile, which is what I was.
He's nipped off for a quick puke and a toot, and then come back.
Yeah, a puke and a toot, and everything's fine. A puke and a toot, every time. That's my design for life. I'm an expat. Here's my why.
Oh, we seem to have a musical in the offing here, Sam.
The expat, it's called, exclamation mark. Another thing that happened in that, I always remember being in the Cat and Fiddle for that, and he was with an outrageously attractive woman who was American, right?
Yeah.
And that, in LA, it was, this was my first time there, and it was clear to me that, you know, it's true what they say, like, everyone's more attractive because every, like, beautiful person in America, and indeed a lot of the rest of the world, gravitate there, right? Because that's where they think that their looks
will be. And the gene pool gets stronger and they all breed with each other.
So
and
this woman that he's hanging around with as part of his kind of, you know, it was one of the accoutrements of this sort of lifestyle he was trying to show off about,
Was puking a toot a beautiful man himself? Had he fallen on hard times?
I wouldn't say he was like, I mean, if you put Tom Selleck as probably the world's most beautiful man, he wasn't anywhere near that level. But neither was he, you know, as ugly as, I don't know, Peter Beardsley, right?
Right.
So he was
maybe
fine.
He's like Dan Aykroyd level.
Exactly. That's really well judged. Without seeing him, it's incredible how well you judge that. He's about Dan Aykroyd level of attractiveness. But she was, like, stunning. And I was a 19-year-old, and I was kind of, you know, absolutely stunned by even being in the presence of a woman who looked like a woman in a Hollywood film.
Yeah.
But she was just in a pub with us, right? So I got talking to her separately. I think my brother was talking to Puke and a Toot, right? And I got talking to her, but I was proper like, oh my God, I can't even handle it. She's just like the most beautiful person I've seen. She's just chatting to me normally in a pub. So she started talking about music. And I was like, yeah, I'm really into music. I know all about music. Now, here's my chance, I thought, to prove to her that I am really cool.
She's going to want to get off of me and everything.
Yeah, I'm going to have a great opportunity here. At the time, this has been in 94 because we were there for the World Cup. I guess it was the era of the sort of, there was a British acid jazz type movement that was quite big that I was really into, right? And one of the bands were called Us Three. Do you remember that?
I remember them, yeah. Yeah, they were
good. They did that song Cantaloupe, right?
Yeah.
Which was, so they, and that was like a cool song and a cool band to be into, right? It was like, I haven't listened to them in years. They probably weren't as good. But at the time, it was definitely one that you would sort of like, yeah, I got new Us Three. So she said, so you're from London? That's so cool. And I'm thinking, yeah, it is, isn't it? Thinking, yeah, she probably thinks I live like on Piccadilly Circus and drive a fucking E-type jazz. I live in the fucking suburbs of West London, mate. Right? And I'm like, yeah, really good. And she went, so what kind of music are you into? There's a great acid jazz scene there at the moment. I'm really into that. That's what I'm into, yeah. A lot of those bands are sort of on the same scene that I'm on, right? They've, like, some of them were from West London, but, you know, obviously had never met any of them or anything. Mm. And she went, and I've never forgotten this, and I actually told my wife it once, and she was in hysterics because even she, who's a good wife, and would you say, oh, it's not that embarrassing. Why has that lived with you? She laughed so much that she even told my daughter, and they both laughed at me for ages about it.
I'm bracing myself for this.
It's not that bad. But I said, she said, so you must know Us Three. And I went, oh, of course. Brilliant. Album of the year, mate, right? And she went, they're such a great band. I love them. And I said, I love them too. And then there was a pause where it seemed like it was an opportunity for me. She thought that I had extra insight because I think they were a British band.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, here's where I have to say something that makes me sound worldly, wise, sophisticated, cool, and ultimately sexually attractive. Yeah. And I went, yeah, what I really like about them is that, and I looked at her and cocked my head and went, they've got a sense of humour. What? What the fuck? What does that mean? No, they didn't. I don't know whether they did or not. I don't know where it came from. But as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, my God, what did I say that for?
How did that come out of my mouth?
But amazingly, because she was Californian and you get sort of quite a lot of, you know, dizzy pretentiousness there, she sort of looked back at me really sincerely and went, you know what? You're so right. And that is so important.
So I mean,
I didn't get off with her, but you were
we were both playing bullshit tennis basically with each other, weren't you?
I mean,
just saying words that meant nothing.
I've never fucking forgotten it. That I thought, it's an opportunity. Yeah, the great thing about them is they've got a sense of humour. Probably said it in that voice. But, you know, you live and learn, don't you?
You do, you do. You were young, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You still remember it now, but that's okay. So, Mac has got the sack. Georgia Moo is in town from America. And, of course, this was 79 when, of course, the NASL, as it was big business. The American Soccer League, it all collapsed a couple of years later. But all the players, the faded stars, went over there, didn't they? You even got players from kind of like the First Division would go over there in the summer and play in the league.
Yeah, I know this all happens in Royal Race of the 70s as well. If you read the, which we will eventually, the 70s, so there's a whole thing where he goes and plays for an American soccer team in the summer break.
A few of them did it just for the cash over the summer. And then Rod borrows a fiver off of Mac, which
is the fiver that he's just bought the drinks for. Sacked.
Yeah,
doesn't give a fuck.
Borrowed a fiver off him. And Mac says, I can never work out what happened to all that money you made. And then it's almost like that classic George Best line, because Rod says, oh, it went tax man, women, hangers-on, cars, clothes. And Mac says, you should cut down on the booze. You'd be a damn sight better player. And Rod says, what, with the kindergarten that we play with? That doesn't really make a lot of sense. But there you go. So that's where that scene ends. And then Rod disappears off, but we'll cover the next scene in the next episode because we've run out of time.
Have we? Bloody hell, that was quick.
Yeah, we have. Well, we did a bit of the frog
chat
stuff.
Chat about my time in LA.
Yeah, we've probably covered about 75 seconds of the film there, I think. But that's all right. You know, like I always say, there's no rush. We're not going anywhere. That's it from this one. We'll be back one more next week. Thank you very much and farewell.
Goodbye, everyone, and good luck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.